Will the recent decision to legalize same-sex marriage in New York be nationally significant? And how might this influence the ongoing debate over the issue? We'll welcome your thoughts and questions this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, June the 28th. Our guest this hour says the vote in the New York legislature on Friday is significant, and we'll discuss why and what might transpire in the near future. What's your reaction, your prediction? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Kimmy King, an associate professor of political science at the University of North Texas. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Joy?
Very good. Thanks for being with us. Now, New York is the sixth state in the nation to legalize same-sex marriage. So why is this significant?
Well, it's significant in the sense that it continues to add to the patchwork going on across the country regarding the battle over same-sex marriage. It is also important because while it's not the first to have its state legislature do it, it is the first where you had a strong Republican majority, and four of those Republicans crossed party lines in the Senate to join with Democrats to pass the bill. And I think at this time, you might argue, although it's not clear, that one more reason why it's significant is that it adds some momentum to a movement that seemed like it was faltering.
No, a lot of people might have thought New York is a liberal or a democratic state, but as you mentioned, the state senate is controlled by Republicans.
Yeah, although we do have to go, I'm from Texas, and so conservative is a very relative term.
Mm-hmm.
Most Texans would not find New York to be conservative Republican controlled by any means. So it's much more of a moderate view. But one of the things that is interesting about the gay marriage issue that you are seeing a change in, and this may be the more important concern long term, is that a number of moderate Republicans have embraced the issue. And I think over the long term, and I'm talking like 2030, 2040 when I say long term, that will contribute to a shift towards support for gay marriage inside some states.
I just saw an article on CNN from a moderate Republican, David Frum, who
yeah.
said that he had been a strong opponent of same-sex marriage, and now he has changed his mind. And the headline, "I was wrong about same-sex marriage."
Yes, and that is one interesting thing about it. And I think one of the things that is unique about same-sex marriage, and one of the things to watch for and why, again, New York does matter in that sense, is that persons who begin looking at the issue more closely and persons who have perhaps gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender persons in their lives, as you've seen with some folks, say, for example, the Cheneys, have changed, moderated their views on the issue of gay marriage. And that, too, long-term, thinking about where you go with that issue, if you are pro-gay rights or anti-gay rights, is something that both movements will have to take into consideration.
Mm-hmm. And wasn't there a recent national poll that came out, and for the first time, the support for same-sex marriage was in the majority?
It was higher.
And
it was higher. And it can vary. It varies over time, too, depending on if there are certain high-profile incidents that are going on in the press or the media, especially when you have particularly contentious challenges, as you saw in, say, for example, New York State or in Maine. Maine was another state that was drawn into it. Well, you will see some variations in public opinion polling, but undoubtedly over the course of the last 20 or 30 years, public opinion has been shifting when you look at the gay marriage issue, shifting more pro-gay marriage, or it's probably, you also have to be careful to include in there support for civil unions as well.
Will New York's decision prompt other states to follow New York's lead?
Well, that's an interesting question. Whether it's New York doing it or not, or whether these are movements inside states that already had momentum and it pushes them forward, that's not, as a political scientist, we don't make that call that they are actually causing it to change. But without a doubt, it sends a signal in what has been relatively recently, especially with all of the concerns about California Proposition 8, it clearly sends a signal that it ain't over till it's over, and that there are a number of states that are going to continue to push for support for gay rights, even in the face of a battle inside the courts over the gay marriage issue.
Then there are a lot of states, including Wisconsin, that have banned same-sex marriages with through constitutional amendments. I think 30 states
30,
or so.
That's correct.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot to undo a ban like that.
Absolutely. And that's why I think that for supporters of who are very buoyed by the New York decision, it is a very solemn reminder over what's happening with the constitutional amendments. Now, keep in mind, and again, this is another issue that's tied into it legally, even in those states where you see bans on same-sex marriage, you are seeing support for altering laws, moderating laws that support civil unions, that support a recognition of granting greater rights to unmarried persons. And so I think in the short term, that might be where persons are should be focused on altering laws, because the bans on constitutional same-sex marriage are pretty clear.
We are talking about the national significance of New York's decision to legalize same-sex marriage. What effect do you hope it has? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll get to your reactions and your questions for our guest after a quick check of today's weather forecast. Looks like it's going to be a pretty nice day, sunny and mild statewide with highs in the 70s. Tonight, some patchy fog. Lows will be in the low 40s in the north to the mid-50s in the south. And tomorrow, another sunny, mild day with highs in the 70s to the low 80s. Currently around the state, we have scattered clouds in Superior, 60 degrees. In Wausau, scattered clouds and 57. Green Bay, partly cloudy and 60. Green in Eau Claire, it's clear and 57. La Crosse, clear and 59. Madison, clear and 59. And Milwaukee, clear and 65 degrees. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support for WPR comes from Fontana Sports in Madison, a locally owned outdoor retailer featuring clothing and equipment for travel and adventure sports. West on Junction Road and a new downtown location, 216 North Henry Street. More at FontanaSports.com.
Coming up on the Ideas Network after 5 o'clock today, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. Ben and his guest will be talking about medical myths that can harm you. That's coming up during At Issue with Ben Marins after 5 o'clock this afternoon. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, June the 28th. We are talking about New York on Friday becoming the 6th and the largest state in the country to legalize gay marriage. What do you think of this vote? How do you predict it might influence the debate over this issue? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Our guest is Kimmy King, an associate professor of political science at the University of North Texas. And our first caller is Rodney in Plymouth. Hello, Rodney.
Good morning.
Morning.
I think the most significant part of the New York Senate debate is that the realization that gay rights or gay marriage and religious freedoms are incompatible. Now, how far does that law actually go in protecting the individual's right of conscience in the marketplace? I heard that, you know, somebody scoffed at the idea that, you know, they spent several days discussing whether aesthetic Jews would have to provide flowers to gay marriage ceremonies, but they didn't answer that.
There were some provisions put into the New York law, and the caller is absolutely correct that religious freedom was one of the issues, and that's why you saw some Republicans refuse to go ahead and support the law because they were concerned about that religious freedom. You know, one of the things that's very difficult about this issue and that has been interesting about the issue is the extent to which as we start to get into the acceptance of gay marriage, and we're going to start to see issues related to gay divorce, actually, you're going to start to see those kinds of cases appear. It's going to depend upon a court's determination on a case-by-case basis. And I do think the caller has a very valid point that the religious issue has not been something that has been systematically evaluated in the passage of legislation. And I think that what you will see is that in those six states in D.C. that have supported gay marriage, they are going to go back and have to take a good long look at their laws regarding the acceptance of religious freedom and the extent to which, you know, churches will be forced to have to deal with certain issues.
Thank you very much, Rodney, for the call. Professor King, how do you see this impacting the debate in Congress or on the national level?
Well, you know, that is going to be tied in with the 2012, like everything else, with the 2012 election race. You know, folks are already screaming because, as you probably know, President Obama has asked the Justice Department to stop enforcing the Defense of Marriage Act, a law passed and supported by Clinton, even though he's changed his mind about it, which only recognizes marriage as being between a man and a woman, in which, in essence, only requires federal law to provide benefits, et cetera, to traditional heterosexual marriage. And so part of, you know, everybody says, well, Congress could wave a wand and change all this if they wanted to. As a practical matter, however, Congress does not have the political will to do that. And I do not see that as a viable strategy for the next 20 or 30 years, to be quite honest with you. And I think that in terms of what Obama will do is that he is going to stay very status quo on this until after the 2012 election. It might be in his second term, and depending on the mandate that either Republicans or Democrats do or do not get for support for their party in terms of the legislative agenda, you might see some moderations, but I don't see a comprehensive bill to come in and undo the Defense of Marriage Act. And one big reason why, and it's another issue that is not fully explored, and it will be interesting to see how states that have legalized gay marriage play this out, are the economic issues that states have to bear as a result of changes in the gay marriage laws. It's going back, amending your statutes, providing procedures for, you know, following for in implementing same-sex marriage laws relating to benefits that you receive, the, as I said, divorce issues, adoption issues is one of the next issues to watch mm-hmm. in the next wave of gay marriage. And so in terms of the national debate, I think it's going to, while they may try to make an issue of it, I think it's going to stay below the radar. And right now it's going to be left to the states. You're not going to see that same kind of backlash that you saw when a bunch of those states moved toward banning gay marriage via constitutional amendment.
Yeah. Listener on Facebook, David, writes, I converted from anti-gay marriage a couple of years ago. What it came down to for me is that by allowing the government to determine who and who may not marry, we allow the government way too much power over the institution. What my church calls marriage and what the government calls marriage are and should be two different things with different purposes. I don't let the government determine what makes me saved. The government has no bearing on what I really view as my marriage. That certificate is a piece of paper.
Wow, the Facebook person really tapped into one of the sentiments that's interesting in watching this issue and why you're seeing public opinion change. And that is that as people look at the issue in depth, it's a very personal issue. Mm-hmm. And so to the extent that it taps into those personal ideas and beliefs, that will help shift public opinion and that eventually shifts laws. And so you have seen much more of a trend toward converting from anti-gay marriage to either just not getting involved in the issue or even supporting it. You have not seen a trend from people being supporting of gay marriage moving backward and saying, I'm against gay marriage.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about you, dear listener? Where are you on this trend? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We're talking about the significance of, the importance of New York on Friday becoming the latest state in the nation, six of them so far, to legalize same-sex marriage. It's also the biggest state to do so. Some are predicting that this could be a turning point in this debate. Do you think it will be? What do you want to see happen from here? You know, a lot of gay rights activists are hoping that President Obama does publicly change his position on this issue. As you mentioned just a bit ago, Professor King, President Obama did during last presidential campaign say that he was against same-sex marriage but in support of civil unions. Now he says he is evolving on the issue. And a Facebook page has cropped up, and it's a campaign that's called Evolver Ready. You don't expect him to do that before the 2012 election?
No, I do not. I do not. And I think, you know, this is where you start to get into Democratic and Republican strategy over how to proceed with the 2012 election. And I do not believe it's going to be one of those hot button issues. I think one of the things that President Obama has to be careful that he does is you have to mobilize your constituency. And he has to be very careful that he doesn't demobilize them by sending clear signals that he's not going to be supportive. And so I think that's one of the reasons why putting the DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act, on hold by the Justice Department is sort of a bone that he gay rights activists and to sort of keep them focused and say we have to change this. But I think before the 2012 election, that's not going to happen. Second term presidents have interesting mandates, and it will depend upon what the Congress is doing. What you might see him doing is using some executive order powers to change things that would be within federal power, but that would be really kind of minor issues, but throw small victories to gay rights groups to keep them interested and engaged in the 2012 election, while not alienating more moderate persons who just, this isn't an issue that they want to see the government take on.
Our next caller is Bobby in Oshkosh. Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning. I don't know if you can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good morning.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Oh, yeah. I guess you'd call me a moderate on this issue. What really has disappointed me is the fact that civil unions just got shunted off of the agenda from gay leadership who insisted that they had to have the exact same term, marriage.
Yeah.
And that, for me, was what really alienated me from the whole gay marriage movement, because I felt like that would have been a struggle that would have been easier to take on. It wouldn't have been so emotionally destructive and ruinous for everybody. And it was just sad that that got sort of pushed aside because there were people at the top of, like, Human Rights Campaign and stuff who felt like they had to have the exact same word.
Mm-hmm. Is that the case, Professor King?
Yes, it absolutely is. And I would add to that issue that there's a whole other host of what we'll call privacy issues that I think that the caller has correctly tapped into that got pushed off of the agenda when gay marriage got pushed to the, we'll call it the front of the line. And so things like, oh, being able to get presents at a deathbed, right? Being able to have access to a shared home, if someone dies, being able to have shared custody after divorces between heterosexual couples, in addition to the larger civil union, the acknowledgement of civil unions, that really did get pushed aside. I mean, you see, for example, a number of states that sort of started off like Vermont is a perfect example that had civil unions, and then they went even further with gay marriage. But what you see in a number of states that, you know, Vermont is not typical, is that civil union legislation was passing around out there. Then when gay marriage was pushed for, as a consequence, any civil union bills got pushed to the back of the line.
Mm-hmm. And then with just a minute to go before our news break, Wisconsin's constitutional amendment that bans gay marriage also bans civil unions or any institution that looks like marriage.
That's correct. Yeah. And that's an indication that when you saw these kind of movements come on strong, they pushed, well, then let's just lay this to bed now, right? Let's mm-hmm. get rid of this right now. We're going to get rid of gay marriage and we're going to get rid of civil unions, rather than taking sort of a more moderate step of saying, let's, like Vermont did, let's put civil unions in place, see how that happens, change some of the public opinion. You have to remember, these bans are really as a consequence of the court of public opinion. And that's, if you're really going to fight for the change, that's where you've got to push.
We are talking with Kimmy King, an associate professor of political science at the University of North Texas. She's talking with us about the influence of the decision in New York to allow same-sex marriages, what that's going to mean to this issue and to the national debate. We'll continue talking with her after we check the latest news. How will New York's decision to allow gay marriage impact other states and the national debate over this issue, if at all? What's your reaction to this news? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6:36 on this Tuesday, June the 28th. We are talking with a guest political scientist about this issue, and we're welcoming your views and questions at 1-800-642-1234. And we have an open line for you for your view on this issue or your question, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Kimmy King is an associate professor of political science at the University of North Texas. And coming up in our next hour, Professor King, we're going to talk about the race for president in 2012 and the current field of Republican candidates, with U.S. Representative Michelle Bachmann making it official yesterday, announcing that she will run. She, on Sunday, said that she would back an amendment to overturn New York's new marriage law. She would support a federal constitutional amendment which would overturn the new law legalizing gay marriage and similar laws in other states. So do you or don't you see this as an issue in the 2012 election?
Oh, I do see it as an issue. Do I see it as a wedge issue that either party can use successfully other than for maybe a 30-second soundbite? No, I don't. I think in these kinds of instances where you have a divided legislature, where you have economic issues and you've got two ongoing wars, there's going to be a greater priority. So I don't want to overstate it and make it sound like, oh, no, it's not going to matter whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it will matter, but it really is for symbolic purposes. As for Bachmann and the constitutional amendment, that is a broader issue that it's very difficult to get constitutional amendments passed. We have been talking about an amendment to ban flag burning, an amendment to put prayer in the schools for quite some time, and that still has not managed to come to pass.
Mm-hmm. Talk again about a little bit more about the significance of this decision because the legislature passed it as opposed to some other way.
Well, because in several of the states, the way in which gay marriage got on the agenda was because a court struck it down because of legal protections. And while New York was not the first, it is, and by its doing so, almost doubled the number of persons who live in quote-unquote a gay marriage state, bringing, I believe, the number to somewhere around 32% of the population now has access because New York is so large. And so in that sense, it's important because it covered a much broader group of people via a legislative, law. Part of the concern has been, say, for example, where you've seen Iowa, Iowa judges had come in and had upheld gay marriage, and then there was a backlash voting those judges out of office. And so there's some concern that at least the legislators know going into it, this is something that I could face on down the road, so I'm willing to stand up, be counted. I support gay marriage, even though I know in the next election it may get me. Wow. In instances of, where you have judges or justices are elected, I think there's some concern right now among the judiciary that if they support legalizing gay marriage, that there will be backlash inside their state.
Do you suspect that the New York decision could generate a backlash?
That's a tough issue. It's hard to know. There will be some backlash. There always is in any kind of contentious issue like this. Will it be enough, coupled with the mix of all the other issues that New York State is facing in the next election, to be at the top of the agenda? I do not think so. I don't. And I also think that had a really tough debate in New York State for quite some time. Remember, New York was among the first that recognized gay marriages from out of state, but didn't recognize gay marriage in state, that I think there will be enough support to allow it to hold through the 2012 election. I do. Barring some sort of, a court may come in and find, for example, that the religious exemptions don't go far enough in protecting what a church or synagogue has to acknowledge or do in the face of a gay marriage request.
Our next caller is Marco in Oconomowoc. Hello, Marco.
Hi, good afternoon, or good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
When you're a third shifter, it's...
Right.
I strongly oppose gay marriage. I strongly oppose based on the fact that I think that the courts, defined it as a unity between a man and a woman. Now, I come from the MTV generation where there's, tolerance and whatnot shown in, our daily lives. But, we have bigger fish to fry at this moment. We have the economy and things like that. And, I just don't support it. No.
All right. But thank you very much for stating your views, Marco. And he's left us, Professor King, but... any reaction to that? I mean, you said yourself that the economy is probably going to take precedence in the election.
I do. Mm-hmm. I do. And foreign policy. I mean, and all of that tied together through, tax policy. And you're going to start to see these two issues. Well, you'll see at the margin some concern about what domestic partnerships and civil unions, the impact of that for taxes. You're not going to see a sea change. I think we're going to sit tight on this. It's not going to be like the immigration issue was going back in elections. It's not going to certainly be the kind of issue that gay marriage had before in the midterm elections. So I while I think it's important, and I think it will be raised, and it will be something that the candidates are asked about because it's a hot topic, right now, to be honest with you, I kind of see it as something like the abortion issue. Important, but it's a stable situation, and the caller had a really nice way to put it, that there are bigger fish to fry.
Yeah. I'm a little, though, confused. You did say the courts have already determined that marriage is between a man and a woman. That's not so clear-cut, is it?
No, it's not. No. It's that the so what the courts have done is that they've looked at their constitution and they've made various rulings either for equal protection purposes or privacy reasons, or in one of the first cases in Kentucky, for both, that said it was really not the place of government to interfere in those issues, that it's a private issue, like regarding homosexuality and whether or not you're gay and whether or not states can punish or criminalize gay homosexual behavior. But the, and in addition to that, they've gone even further and said that equal protection, singling out one group for unequal treatment, is not fair. And that if government does that, it has to have a legitimate interest. It has to have a rational basis in why government is doing that. One of the arguments that has come up in legal cases has been that it is legitimate for government to accept marriage as only between a man and a woman, because historically that's what it's always been. Well, we've known that at the time of the Constitution, when it was written, going back in time, it's always been accepted. And so government has a legitimate interest in protecting that man-woman union by barring same-sex marriage. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And let's go to Wayne in Green Bay now. Hello, Wayne.
Hi. You know, one thing that I observed about the New York process was, for the first time, the Catholic Church was deeply involved, as they have been in the past, but for the first time, there were actual threats made of political repercussions, and apparently they're being followed through now after the vote has been taken. For example, any senator or assemblyman who voted in favor of the legislation is now being denied any honor by the Catholic Church. It's forbidden the bishops to honor any of those people in any way, and I thought that was unusual. I can't recall any religion having done that before.
Yeah. Are you aware of this, Professor King?
Yes. And you have seen that with some congregations, say, for example, on the abortion issue, when somebody came out. In that sense, it's not wholly unique. It is, the caller is correct, that there has been this kind of furor out of the Catholic Church, and part of that is that the Catholic Church is thinking about charities on down the road and the issue regarding adoption, say, for example, and the impact that this may have on adoption procedures, of which Catholic Charities is very, you know, they are all very involved in. And so in that sense, yes, you also saw the Jewish community, and it will be interesting to see how this plays itself out inside New York State, raising concerns that they were disappointed and that they are going to push really hard to make sure that those exceptions that are within the law will be honored and protected.
Yeah, the Archbishop Timothy Dolan, who a lot of listeners in Wisconsin are familiar with because he was in Milwaukee, is now the leader of the Catholic Church in New York. And he, in a statement, said the new law is a cause for concern. We worry that both marriage and the family will be undermined by this tragic presumption of government in passing this legislation that attempts to redefine these cornerstones of civilization. So he feels pretty strongly about it.
Yeah, and then how far each church or how far they'll go with allowing each community to be able to make decisions about say, for example, denying communion mm-hmm. to one of the supporters of gay marriage because of what they did. That will be very interesting to see as well.
We are talking with Kimmy King. She is an associate professor of political science at the University of North Texas. We are looking at New York's decision to allow gay marriage and the impact on the gay marriage issue in other states and in the national debate. And we're welcoming your reaction to what happened in New York and what you think it might mean for the future of this issue. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking the weather forecast for today, it's going to be a sunny, mild day today with highs mainly in the 70s. Some patchy fog this evening with lows in the 40s to mid-50s. And tomorrow, mostly sunny and mild, highs tomorrow in the 70s and low 80s. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann has made it official. She is a candidate for president. We will take a look at what that means coming up after 7 o'clock this morning. Right now we are talking about same-sex marriage and the decision in New York to allow same-sex marriage and what this might mean, its influence on the issue nationally. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's about 10 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, June the 28th. Our guest is Kimmy King, an associate professor of political science at the University of North Texas. And our next caller is Jeremiah in Appleton. Good morning, Jeremiah.
Hello. Thank you, Joy, and thank you for everything you do.
Well, thank you for calling.
Well, I'd just like to ask your guest what she thinks about the education system in relationship to this. I'm a gay man myself, and it really seems, I've been aware about this issue for many years, and it seems countries who are very progressive, such as Spain and Canada, have a much more solid educational system, and it seems like all people in a country who have a much more solid education seem to be on equal footing, immigrants, gay people, women, that sort of thing. They seem to value each other much more. I'd just like to hear what she has to say on this.
What do you have to say on that, Professor King?
Well, I think one of the really interesting things that has come out of this process that really began, I mean, if we're going to trace where this issue comes back to, it goes back to a decision, Hardwick versus Bowers, at the Supreme Court, first entered the fray of gay rights back in 1986. And since that time, there has been this kind of growing evolution of views towards just in general, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered issues. To the extent, on the educational point, and I think one thing that is important to keep in mind is that if you go the world over, yes, there are changes in tolerance, especially among like Western European societies, but you don't see a grand embrace of gay marriage across the world, regardless of how educated your country is. You see greater levels of tolerance for gay rights. But whether that actually translates into accepting and embracing gay marriage is a different issue. And this goes back to the point about the whole host of other issues that are under the radar that absolutely need, that I think personally, need to be addressed on a number of different levels. For example, violence against gay teens is just out of proportion compared to other groups. When you look at teen suicide, teen depression, a whole host of juvenile issues that deal with gay issues, right? Sexuality issues. That has been a topic that has not been scratched nearly enough below the surface in terms of the impact that it has on society. And so to that extent, I think that that's one issue that the gay marriage issue, you know, pushed off the plate, the extent to which there's just blatant discriminatory, violent treatment of persons based on their sexual orientation.
Boy, I was just going to follow up about the demographics of people who support gay marriage, and I've always heard that younger people, as opposed to older people, do support gay rights more. But that violence against gay teens shows that that's not universal either.
Well, that's because you're tapping into typically public opinion polls will poll among college and higher age range. And the other thing to remember with violence, it's not a majority of people carrying out the violence. You have a small portion of folks who are typically have other kind of violent bullying behavior that are carrying it out. But it's absolutely correct, and that's why I think sort of long-term, the goal ought to be on focusing, and people aren't going to like to hear this, but it should be focusing on where are we in 2020, 2030, 2040? What does a gay rights movement look like long-term, given this, what you have to call kind of a setback in terms of the constitutional amendments that have just swept over this country in the last 6 to 7 years.
Following up more specifically to Jeremiah's point, did I hear you say that there really isn't any evidence that more education leads to more support for gay marriage?
Well, no, there is. It leads to tolerance. It leads to tolerance on rights issues. It does not necessarily mean, it's not clear that it leads to an actual embracing of gay marriage. And then, so another issue to kind of consider, it's slightly different, but it is in the same context of a privacy right, as physician-assisted suicide, for example, and the extent to which societies are sort of moving toward embracing physician-assisted suicide because it is a privacy issue. This is a personal decision that you make about your life and how you want to lead it. And so that is one thing that you see in countries that have greater education levels. You see greater respect for privacy rights. How that translates is a different issue.
Thanks, Jeremiah, for the call. Paul in Madison is with us now. Hello, Paul.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very good. What's on your mind?
I have a question about the politics. It seems like the Republicans are going to need the independents if they're going to keep continuing in power. And I wonder where the independents come on this issue of marriage equality, because I have a sense that they're more liberal. I have a number of friends that are fairly conservative fiscally but are much more liberal socially. And I think the Republicans, like Bachman, are going to be turning off a lot of people.
Professor King?
So, great point that the caller is making. I think it depends when you talk about independents, whether you're talking about populists who tend to be socially conservative or libertarians who tend to be socially liberals. But without a doubt, where you see, and because I think that fiscal issues will be at the top of the agenda 2012, maybe even more so than foreign policy in some ways, although the two are really tied together, you're going to see libertarians get to be able to flex a little bit more muscle of because of their support on certain economic programs. And libertarians will also argue, and, you know, while we're at it, don't interfere with my guns and don't interfere with my private rights. Don't interfere with some of these other social issues that are important for libertarians, and they will be able to command a little bit more power in the platform of Democrat and Republican parties.
Now, a quick react. A lot of people are saying that New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is now a front runner for president in 2016.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if you watched the press conference that he gave right after they signed it, but it was clear in the lieutenant governor's introduction of him and his opening remarks, when we were all looking around at each other going, is he announcing that they just legalized gay marriage, or is he announcing he's going to be running for president?
And you don't expect, though, well, what do you think is the next arena in the story of gay marriage in just 30 seconds?
It's been the way it's always been since 1986. It bounces back into the courts, because if New York State and its legislature thinks that this is over, it is not over. There will be challenges to the law, largely based on economic claims as well as religious freedom claims. It will depend on what's going on in all of the other courts around the country, including the Supreme Court, which is ultimately going to get handed Proposition 8 after it works through the federal appeals process.
Thank you so much for being with us.
You betcha.
Kimmy King is an associate professor of political science at the University of North Texas. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.